Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 10. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 10. The Bible says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And that's the aspect of the Lord's model prayer or the pattern prayer that He desired for us to shape our prayers like Him, His prayer here, as He was teaching His disciples how to pray. This is something that we need to do as disciples, as followers of the Lord. We need to follow His pattern. And in this, we've already looked at a few things. We've learned so far that in prayer, there are parts of prayer. We find the invocation. That's the opening. We address the Lord as Father. We refer to Him as our Heavenly Father because of salvation. We're saved. We are His children. And you can be a good child or a bad child. It doesn't matter. Once you are in Christ, once you are saved, you will always be a child of God. And of course, God deals with us as a father. So He doesn't allow His children to act like a fool. He will punish. He will discipline. And He has a way of working with us and bringing us along. Okay, so it's important to know Him as Father, not just Creator, not just some distant being, but a Heavenly Father. We can go to Him at any time. Doesn't matter what day, what hour, what activity, we have the privilege of prayer. It's a privilege to pray and get access to the Heavenly Father. So we start with the invocation. We looked at that. Then we move into adorations, another aspect of prayer where we worship Him and praise Him and lift Him up in our hearts, in our minds. We draw worship there. We worship Him. We ascribe Him worth. That's what worship is, ascribing Him worth. And this phrase, "which art in heaven," we looked into that already. Then we moved into the third aspect of prayer, which is petition. And a large portion of prayer is petition. It's simply asking God for different things. Most of our prayers tonight was asking God for health and strength and wisdom and protection and guidance and asking God for intervention, asking God for wellness and recovery and healing. Those things, we approach the Lord and believe that He has the power to grant us our petitions, our requests. The heart of prayer is petition. In the Lord's model prayer, in Matthew chapter 6, there are 7 prayer petitions. There are 7 requests. And we learned the first one is, "Hallowed be thy name." Worshiping the Lord, asking God to set apart His name, making Him distinct, other, holy, separated from us in a way. And then we looked at the petition, "Thy kingdom come." That's what we studied that last week with a futuristic plan, God's future plan of establishing His kingdom on earth. And boy, this earth is hurting. It needs the Lord to come back. And the only hope of this world is Jesus Christ and establishing His kingdom here. And now we come to the third petition, petition number 3. And this is where we are at in our study. This is what we're going to look at. And it simply says, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And so let me begin by saying, as we are going to think about God's will in our prayers, let me begin by saying we have to be careful in our manner of prayer and also in the matters of our prayer. God gives us these guidelines in prayer. And if you're not careful, you might think to yourself, "Well, is my prayer good enough for the Lord? am I praying in a way that pleases the Father? Well, let me just say, the flesh is very creative. The flesh is very creative, and the devil is such a tempter. He will tempt you. He will say, there's no point in praying. That, well, yeah, we don't know. Is this prayer good enough for the Lord? So what's the point of praying? Don't even worry about praying. It doesn't work. Or God doesn't receive it. Or God doesn't hear. And so, just neglect prayer. That is satanic. The devil hates to see the Christian in prayer. If anything else, it doesn't matter if you're a strong Christian, if you think you're strong, probably not. If you think you're weak, it doesn't matter if your prayer, if you think your prayer is perfect, word perfect prayer, no such thing anyway. Or weak prayer, short, scanty prayer, just whispering prayer, even secret prayers, or feeble prayers, maybe you might think you're offering to the Lord, nothing, almost nothing, feeble prayers, weak. But God receives it, you see. God gave us the Holy Spirit, and He's the one who takes our prayer requests and translates it before the Heavenly Father. And with groanings which cannot be uttered, it's the Holy Spirit's great assistance in us as Christians to take our prayers and present them before the heavenly throne. And let me just say that if prayer for you is not work, if you're not struggling in prayer or even working, laboring in prayer, that may not be biblical prayers, okay? Because true prayer is labor. It's work. There's effort. There's spirit. There's a great involvement in prayer. And often we're not good judges of our prayers. We think sometimes our prayer is good, but it's not. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, the Bible says. And sometimes we think the prayer is nothing, but it really is effective, and the Lord blesses, and the Lord answers. And I guess the most important thing to remember about prayer is make sure you pray. Just pray. Just pray. It doesn't matter if it's feeble, small, weak, short, secret, or whatever. Pray as long as you are praying. That's the important thing about prayer, is that you really are praying. We must pray. And pray on and continue to pray. And pray without ceasing. Don't worry so much as to the form of your prayer. That will come. These lessons over here, you know, I don't know anything about invocation or adoration or petition. That's fine. But as long as you are praying, that's the most important thing. Are you really sincerely talking to the Lord in prayer? And oftentimes, Christians fail in that area, and the devil's happy. He's satisfied that Christians will not pray. And that's a sin against the Lord to not pray. And God is not pleased. And I know that the Lord desires for us to pray. So let me exhort you before we unravel thy will be done. Let me just exhort you to continue in prayer and make sure you are praying. All right, so what are the things about this third prayer request? Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. What is this third petition about? Well, it involves God's will being accomplished in earth. God's will being fulfilled in us personally and through us. And the object of our prayer, let me start with that one. The focus of this third petition is that we want God's will accomplished in our lives, right? We want God's will for our lives. How about we turn it around? Why don't we make our life count for God's will? See, we know what God's will is if you know the Bible. You know what the Lord wants you to do. You know the scriptures. The Bible lays out verses concerning the will of God. But the question is, are you interested in the will of God? Do you want your life to count for God's will? Are you interested in the will of God? It makes no sense to pray for God's will and not obey Him. Does it work? And so here you're asking, Lord, we want your will to be done in earth, but not in me. Okay? Yes, Lord, we want your will to rule and reign in the entire world, but not in my home, not in my church, not in my heart. It makes zero sense. You think Jesus Christ is King of Kings, but is He your King? You see, I'm asking you, is He ruler over your affairs? Or is He just King in name only? Or are you a Christian in name only? Okay, a lot of people say they are Christians. But when you look at the will of God, are they obeying the will of God? Are they accomplishing the will of God? Are they interested in the will of God? You'd have to say no. The will of God takes second place. What a shame, isn't it? To be a child of God, to have the privilege of prayer in heaven, the gift of the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and you are not interested in the will of God, shame on you. And you ought not be comfortable. You ought not feel at home in a Bible-believing Baptist church that preaches the Word of God. You ought to feel ashamed. And it ought to drive you to repent and say, Lord, I have sinned against you in not allowing your will to be accomplished in my heart. Now, God's will is clear. It's laid out in the Scriptures. If you really want God, you can pray, God, show me your will. Do you think the Lord would show you His will if you ask Him for it? Huh? Or do you think He'll keep you in the dark? Of course, if you personally ask God to show you His will, open the Bible, read it, and you will find His will. Those who know the Bible well know God's will. So if you want to know the Lord's will for your life, get in the Word of God and ask the Lord to help you. So we pray, Thy will be done. That's the main object of our prayer request. We pray that so that Jesus Christ can rule and reign over us. It's easy to pray, I pray for your will to be done in the earth, in earth, here on earth. Woo. But what about God? Would you allow your will to be accomplished in my life, in my heart? Huh? Christ, you know how He prayed? He said, not my will, but Thine be done. Luke chapter 22. Go over to Luke chapter 22. Jesus is the master teacher. We find Him teaching about prayer. And when we examine the master in prayer, we find this amazing truth about the will of God in his life. See, he doesn't just preach, he practices what he preached. See, he puts it in his life. Luke chapter 22, verse number 42. Luke 22. Verse 42, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. It's the same idea. Thy will be done, not my will, but thy will. Can you pray that prayer? When you pray for the Lord's will, are you willing to surrender your will to the Father's will? Jesus did, and we all Christians can do that. You know, the flesh and man, they have their own will. They have their own desire. Go over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 when we think about the will of man, the will of the flesh. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 2. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 2. That he no longer should live in the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men. That's the lusts of men, the will of man, the lust of the flesh, but to the will of God. And so that's something that we need to consider. We need to remember, hey, I have my own desires. I have my own way. I have my own thoughts and my own philosophies. I have my will, but am I willing to surrender that to God's will? Am I willing to be subordinate to God's will and allow it? You know, the devil has a will. The devil has his own will. Look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And verse 44. John chapter 8, verse 44. Look at what Jesus taught us about the devil. He says here, "Ye are of your father the devil," talking to the religious hypocrites, calling them the child of the devil, basic children of the devil. "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts," that's the will, that's the desires, "of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." And so Satan has his own lusts and his own will, and he exerts that control over the unsaved, children of disobedience, children of wrath, children of the viper, the brood of serpents, basically. And so, if you don't follow God's will, the alternative is following your own will. If you're not interested, and if you're not careful, your will could be overtaken by the devil's will. You see how important it is. What great safety and protection comes from this third petition. Thy will be done. God has the wisdom. We don't. And we go to Him and ask Him, "Lord, we want Your will to be accomplished." You see, we trust Him. We know He knows more than we do. And so we submit ourselves to Him. That's the third object. God's will is the most important aspect of this third prayer request. Look at the sphere of God's will. Where is God's will supposed to be accomplished? It says on earth. In earth, right? And preposition really doesn't matter here in a sense. God's will wants to be accomplished in earth where we live. When are you going to do God's will? When? You going to wait to do God's will? You want to wait, what, till you get, like, you know, young person here wants to... You're going to wait to serve the Lord till you're a teenager? Then you can officially serve the Lord, you know, woo. There's a magic, you know, that turns out. I'll tell you what, if you're not serving God now, you won't be serving God when you're a teenager. Don't be an idiot. If you're a teenager, you say, "Well, I'm going to wait to serve the Lord when I become an adult. You know, then I can serve the Lord." No. If you're not serving God as a young person, you will not be serving God, chances are, apart from the grace of God. You will not be serving the Lord as an adult. You see? When are you going to do the will of God? When are you going to wait for the pandemic to be over before you serve the Lord? You kidding me? If you can't serve God in a pandemic, you ain't going to serve God when the pandemic is over. You see? When are you going to pray? You're going to wait for a revival to hit you before you start praying? Huh? You're going to wait for tragedy to come into your life before you start praying? No. You ought to do the will of God right now, no matter who you are, no matter what your status is. Single, I'm going to wait to serve God when I am married. I'm going to wait to serve God when I have a family. I'm going to wait to serve God when I get a college degree. I'm going to wait to serve God when I get to the mission field. Whoa. When I get there, I'll serve the Lord. I'll tell you a secret. Can I tell you something? God's will is available for everyone. And he doesn't hide his will. There's nothing mystical about the will of God. It's very practical. And if you're not observing God's will now, you will not serve him and his will later. Do God's will now. Okay? And God will bless. And God will help. And God will aid. In the earth. God wants his will in the earth. It says here, as it is in heaven. Now in heaven, there's nothing opposing God in the throne of God. Every angel in heaven is ready for service. That's why they have wings. And some of them got 6 wings. Some of them got 4. Some of them got 2. Some of them, they show up, they don't have wings. But every angel in heaven, when God says, deliver this message, they go right down to earth to deliver his message, you see. When God says, let there be light, the Bible says there was light. That's 3 days before the sun showed up, just so you know. What I'm saying is, God's will is accomplished perfectly in heaven. But when we come to earth, man, what about God's will here in the earth? Well, what happened? God says surrender. The Christian says no. God says don't drink wine and beer and liquor. And the Christian says, well, I can have a little bit. You see how sinful we are? God says, live in cleanliness and holiness and sanctification is the will of God. Then you got a bunch of fornicators and adulterers running around. It's not being accomplished here on earth. There is an aspect to the will of God I do not understand. I do not understand. There is an aspect to the will of God that can be violated, that can be opposed. God desires for all men everywhere to repent, but yet all men everywhere is not repenting. They want to do their own thing instead of obeying God. And the Lord allows it to happen for temporary now here on earth, because it's not going to last forever. God's going to judge. God's coming back and he's going to straighten out everything that was wrong. But for now, God is saying to everyone, get saved. But yet not everyone is saved. God wanted Jerusalem. God wanted to start his kingdom in Jerusalem, but Jerusalem refused. They refused the will of God. I don't understand everything about the will of God. It's a wonderful topic in Scripture. There's the sovereign will of God. There's the free will of man. But I'll tell you, man can oppose and they do. They oppose the will of God. This is something. This is a very important prayer, that we line up ourselves with the will of God. We do not fight the Lord. That we surrender ourselves to the Lord. Go over to Luke chapter 13. Here's a good example. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, I just amazed how the Lord just allows things for the time being. But there's going to come a reckoning. There is going to come a time when God will judge. Luke chapter 13, verse 34. Luke chapter 13, verse 34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets. And they killed the prophets. You know, when God sends a man of God, you ought to receive the message of the man of God, but not Jerusalem, man. They kill the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. And they hurled stones at them, kill them. How often would I have gathered thy children? Would I have gathered thy children. I mean, if it was up to God, he would have taken care of them. Would, his will was to take care of them and nurture them and bring them along as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings. But here's the problem. And ye would, that's the will of man, not. Opposing the will of God. Opposing the will of God. So, God's will can be opposed. It can be resisted and opposed. Only Jesus can accomplish the perfect will of God in perfection. Only Jesus can do that. There's no man on earth who can completely, perfectly follow the will of God in perfection. Only Jesus. Look at John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't strive and we shouldn't try and we shouldn't dedicate ourselves to the Lord. We should. But our standard is not us. It's not, you know, we don't come to God bragging on ourselves. We have nothing to brag about. We have nothing to be proud of. Nothing at all. But John chapter 4, verse 34. John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And thank God Jesus finished the work of salvation. He finished the work. He accomplished the will of the Father that sent him to redeem us from our sins. And he's the only one who could do that. There's no man on earth who could fulfill the will of God concerning our redemption. That's why we have to trust in him alone. You can't trust in someone else, something else. It's only Jesus Christ. Look at John chapter 8, verse 39. John chapter 8, verse 39. John 8, 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus saith unto them, John chapter 8, verse 39. Well, let's look at this here. Now, let's... Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth, and it's basically the Father. So, he doesn't operate and accomplishes his own honor and his own desires. Jesus is the only one who perfectly pleases the Father and accomplishes his perfect will here on earth. This ought to drive us to depend upon the Lord, not ourselves. God's will one day will be done in earth. Amen. One day. God's will be done in earth as it is in heaven, but it will not be through man's efforts. It will not be through human flesh and human will and desire. It will be through the Messiah, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He will transform us. He will change us. He will make sure that we surrender our wills to the Father's will and accomplish that. Satan has made a terrible destruction here on earth on concerning the will of God. Now he has so confused this world. This world has no idea about the will of God. Apart from salvation, you will not know the will of God. And so if you want to know the will of God, the first thing, you must be born again. Okay? Because when you have salvation, when you know the Lord as your Savior, God gives you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit teaches you the will of God. He guides you every day concerning the will of God. So notice the priority in the first three petitions. Hallowed be thy name. It's about God. Thy kingdom come, it's about God. Thy will be done, it's about God. So in the first petitions of our prayers ought to focus on the Lord, not ourselves. So if your prayer doesn't draw you to the Lord and lift you out of this stinking world into the Lord, His throne, then it's not biblical prayer. It's not. It doesn't help. We notice this about the first three petitions. You see here, hallowed be thy name. That would be the Father's name. That's the Father. Thy kingdom, whose kingdom? That's the Son. And thy will be done in earth. Who is here in earth that helps us and teaches us how to accomplish the will of God? Who is he? The Spirit, yes. And so you have the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Prayer is a very... is based upon the Trinity. It's based upon who God is. There's the virtues. You can think of virtues. Hallowed be thy name. Talks about faith. We believe in God and His Word. Thy kingdom come is our hope. Okay, that's hope. Faith and hope. And the last one here, thy will be done. What is the motivating virtue? What motivates us to obey the Lord? It ought to be
love.
Faith, hope, love. See how prayer teaches and builds in us Christian character. Prayer does all that. Draws us to the Lord and makes us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so... remember this, thy will be done. God's will is always best. God's will is always best. Our wills will lead you astray. But God's will is always best. We thank and praise God for who He is, for what He has done, and what He will be doing. Now, I'll end with a story of a lady who wanted to go to the mission field. Her name is... Adelaide Pollard. She was born 1902, so this is, you know, pretty ancient history. She was born in a Presbyterian family. She was a girl who, at 40 years old, she prepared herself to take a missions trip to Africa. At 40 years old, and the day that she was supposed to board the boat heading to Africa, she discovered that the money that people promised to give her so she can go, it didn't come in. She was delayed in going to Africa. And she was looking forward to going to Africa and doing missionary work. And she was heartbroken that she didn't get to do that. And she really was discouraged. So what does she do? She goes to the prayer meeting on a Wednesday night. She goes to a prayer meeting at her church. And a lady prayed a prayer. And the lady said this in her prayer. Some lady praying here says, "It doesn't really matter what you do with us, Lord. Just have your own way with our lives." And that encouraged her. You see, she was so discouraged, but now she got in the prayer meeting and she heard, "Doesn't really matter what you do with us, Lord, as long as you have your way in our lives." And that is pretty much saying, "Thy will be done." Okay? And so she wrote words in a poem commemorating that prayer meeting that encouraged her so much. And she wrote the words, "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay." And then mold me and use me and all that. She basically wrote a wonderful poetry 5 years later, there was a musician who put her words into music. And he wrote the melody, and we now know how to sing, "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way." And see, that's the thing. That's the thing. God is the potter, we are the clay. Let the Lord have His way in you. God's will is best. So, that's not the end of the story. You know, you get a good story like that, it just keeps on going. She eventually gets to Africa at 60 years old. So she got on a boat and was able to travel to Africa and have a missions trip in Africa. So it wasn't God's timing for her at 40. God probably used her more at 60 than He did at 40. But it's all in the Lord's hand. We don't always understand why the Lord does the things He does in our life. We don't always understand why things happen to us. But we need to trust in the Lord and pray, "Thy will be done." Surrender your will to the Lord's will. And maybe you'll get to Africa sometime soon. You never know. I don't know. I'm just saying. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless them. Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, that we may not understand everything, but we can pray, "Your will be accomplished in our lives, Lord." We desire for Your will to be done in earth. We understand this world is a mess, and it certainly could use Your supreme will accomplished here. And we look forward to the time when Jesus Christ establishes Your kingdom, when Your will be accomplished in all its fullness and glory and power. And while we're waiting for that time, Lord, we surrender our wills to You. We desire that Your will would be accomplished in us personally, and that we would learn to seek for Your will every day and accomplish it, Lord. We love You. We ask Your blessing upon this word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.